Thank you, Brother Lester and saints of God.
Again, I rejoice that we can fellowship together again.
Amen.
In the Lord, and I'm grateful for what he's doing in your midst. And I'm expecting...
Put it on your tie, brother. You're going to lose it again.
You're going to lose it right there. Put it on your tie.
So I'll be tied up.
And tangled up. And wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You didn't expect that.
Can't get out.
That's right. Anyhow, I'm in expectation that God will visit us in a special way during these few days and nights. I have been feeling a stirring in my spirit about this year, ever since it began. And the Lord laid on my heart to look at the number 6. And Brother Lester called me about sometime in January or February and was mentioning to me that he shared a message about the purpose of God in making man. And I said to him, did you know that God's been dealing with me about the same subject? Because, you know, what God is doing is not in a corner. The Spirit of God is free to move all over the earth. And God has a way of confirming the truth.
Yes.
So we can be established in the truth and not be wavering and be of a double mind. God is looking for a pillar people, not caterpillars. But him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. So, it's a subject that is very vast. I can't in any way claim to have all the light on it, but I hope for the next couple of nights we can examine a question. And this question is given 4 times in the Bible. And it's a simple question. What is man? I want to repeat that question. What is man? Would you be surprised to find it's asked 4 times in the Bible? I'm sure you are well familiar with Psalm number 8. The psalmist David was able to look up into the sky during the nighttime. And it's a precious psalm. It's found 4 times or referred to 4 times in the New Testament. So that's an important psalm for us to meditate upon. When God repeats, beloved, more than once, it's time that we stop, look, and listen. So let's go to Psalm number 8. Psalm number 8. Maybe I can read it. It's not too long. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, here comes our question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I'm tempted to go into this psalm, but I'll have to refrain myself. But I want to give you a couple more references to the question, and in that way, we can see it's a very important question. And Psalm 8, if you want to make a note, is given 4 times or referred to 4 times in the New Testament. Matthew 21:16, 1 Corinthians 15:27, Ephesians 1:20-22, and Hebrews 2, verses 6 to 9. And all those references take us back to Psalm 8. One thing I noticed about the first quotation, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength. But when Jesus referred to it, telling the Pharisees, haven't you read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength. So perfected praise equal ordained strength. You want to get strength? Begin to praise him.
Amen.
And not only when everything is going well for you, but when everything seems to be against you. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Now please check those two references and see how in one version, perfected praise, and the other, ordained strength. That's a revelation in itself. I can't go further into it, but I tell you, as we become babes, we become little in the eyes of the Lord and begin to praise him and glorify him with all our soul and mind and spirit. God gives us a strength that is not of this realm. And we can stand up against the enemy and the avenger. Who is that? Satan. Do you know the devil never sleeps? His demons are always studying Christians. And if they don't carry out their assignments, they suffer great loss. So they have to keep working and working on the Christian's weaknesses so they can get some promotion by entangling the Christian here in this realm. That's why Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. The enemy is against us, but begin to praise the Lord. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And you're going to see a strength supernatural given to you that the enemy will be frustrated. That he will be outwitted. And when he thought he had everything going his way at Calvary, little did he realize he was coming in for the greatest defeat. So what he thought would result in victory for him turned out to be the greatest victory for the Lord and the greatest defeat for the devil. So, beloved, begin to praise him and begin to thank him and be little before him. Samuel said to Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, didn't God make you king over Israel? But when he became a king, he lost being little. He got too puffed up with the position of a king. And he lost his crown. His namesake, Saul, of the New Testament, thought he was somebody great too, until he was knocked down to the ground and had a revelation of the Lord. And he saw he was nothing. In one place he says, I'm less than the least of all saints. Can we get lower than that? He says, though I am nothing, and God has chosen five classes of people, among them are the nothings. But praise God, a nothing in the hand of God can have a one put before it. You and I are like a zero, but put one before zero, you get 10. Add another zero, you get 100. And God delights in using base things, despised things, weak things, foolish things, and nothings, that no flesh will glory in his presence. All right. Allow me to bring you to Psalm 144 and verse 3. Psalm 144 and verse 3. Lord, what is man? And this is David again. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 7. Job, and that's just before the Psalms, and the 7th chapter, and verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? And we go to Hebrews chapter 2. Here is a New Testament commentary on the Old. And isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word is the best commentator on the Scriptures? And the things that are concealed in the Old are revealed in the New. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. And by the way, God has been dealing with me on the book of Hebrews. I don't think I can get into it this time. But I'm seeing some things in that book I've never seen before. I'm telling you, this is a day when the Lord is doing a new thing in the earth. And he's opening our eyes and ears and hearts. And things we've wondered at and pondered and have seen in just a tiny way, God is amplifying and enlarging so that we can be established in the truth and be hearers and doers of his word. So the book of Hebrews is not only for the Hebrew Christians. At the first, the gospel came first to the Jew. But the very word Hebrew means a pilgrim. How many of us agree? We who know the Lord are the pilgrims. And our founding fathers were called the pilgrims. And a pilgrim is one who is on his way home. He hasn't arrived yet.
Amen.
And we are the Hebrews of today. Though we are not ruling out, God is still speaking to Israel and those who can hear. And God is telling us in the book of Hebrews a lot about his purpose. And the main message of the book of Hebrews is not how to get saved. No. It's not about Jesus and the work on the cross before resurrection or even after resurrection. The book of Hebrews is the only book that gives us a message from Jesus in glory after his ascension and session at the right hand of glory, at the right hand of the Father in glory. And he who spoke on earth is speaking from heaven now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's not initial salvation. No. How shall we escape if we, who do we, not the outsider, not the unbeliever? That's the children of God who already know him. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great? It's a so great salvation. It's a salvation for the entire man, not just the soul, but spirit, soul, and body.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And the book of Hebrews is calling us to a life of holiness and of obtaining the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the whole message of the book. But I'm not going to go into it this time, just teasing you a bit, that you may want to look into it some more. And it's a book of better things, better inheritance, redemption by better blood than the blood of bulls and of goats, and a better high priest than Aaron. Well, so much for that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" It is all going back to Psalm number 8 now. So that must be something very important for us as God's people to contemplate. What did God have in mind when he decided in Genesis, "Let us make man after our own image and after our own likeness"? I was thinking on this, but very superficially. And you know, God made man in his own image and likeness. But the question never dawned on my mind, what was the pattern God had in mind? Did God know when he would make man, how man would be his masterpiece? Man is the highest of God's creative work. And no wonder another part of the Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Right now, if you were to worry about how your food is being digested, you would be ill at ease, but you're not worrying about it. You're not worrying about inhaling and exhaling. You don't know the circulation that is taking place in you, the circulation of the blood. May I tell you something? That statement, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made," is absolutely true. Each one of us is a miracle. Each one of us is a testimony to the creative power of God. And we read again, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, whereunto God has ordained us. And if we marvel at the human body, imagine the marvel and the mystery of our spirit and our soul dwelling in this physical body. Of all professions, the medical profession should be the first to acknowledge Absolutely. The creative power of God.
Absolutely.
And yet we have so many atheists seeing the proof and still not wanting to acknowledge the Creator. How sad. But anyhow, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? And I'm going to leave you with a thought that I hope will bless you. Maybe you might not agree with me on this thought, but it's nothing to worry about. But I'm going to prove it to you, and you can take it home and see if it bears any substance. Brother Lester was announcing not too long ago, Jesus is the same when? What else? And forever. Well, there is no description of the Father in the Bible or of the Holy Spirit. Though we know the Father is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person, and Jesus is a person. And whenever God manifested himself to man, before the fall and after the fall, it was not the Father. It was not the Spirit. It was the Son.
Amen.
So the Son was already in the form of a human being, but of a divine human being, long before man was created. And when man was created, he was created to be just like Jesus Christ. You see, God never departed from that purpose. And I want to show you that. I want to show you that Daniel saw Jesus before he was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. And the same vision that Daniel had is so similar to the vision John had on the Isle of Patmos. It will take you some time, but I'm giving you a little homework. Because the pre-incarnate Christ already existed in a bodily form. For he's the express image of the invisible God. We read that in the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And we read of a man wrestling with Jacob. And we read of an angel. And it's not just an angel, it's the angel of the Lord. Before the Lord took on a bodily form that would make him wear this human body forever, he would come and go. And sometimes you'd be seen as a man. Ezekiel saw the body of a man upon the throne in the very first chapter there. He's the God-man. But he didn't come to Bethlehem as yet. So turn with me very quickly. And then we'll get back to what is man. I just want to show you that the same man these saints were singing about and testifying about is the same one who was born, and it was the same Jesus Christ, but he was seen in a different form. But once he took on a human body, that would be his for the rest of eternity. Once Jesus took on a human body and worked out the plan of redemption, in that body now he has the marks, he has the glory, and he will always wear that body into eternity. So I just want to show you that he was the same that Jacob saw and wrestled with. He was the same that Daniel saw. How about Nebuchadnezzar? He cast three men into the fiery furnace, and when he looked, how many did he see? And what was the fourth man like? Like the Son of God. Hallelujah. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, he hath declared him.
Yes.
Think about this. And that is so vast, it will take us the rest of our lives here on earth to fathom. I'm not claiming to understand it, just to show you. That Jesus Christ was seen by different ones. And imagine a man named Simeon picking up this little child in his arms. And somebody described it like this: God contracted to a span. Can you fathom that? God contracted to a span when the heavens can't hold him. Oh, the more you think about this, the more you say, indeed, such things are too high for me.
Yeah.
But let's look at this description. And by the way, you will find the Lord described in the Song of Solomon when you read the description of the Beloved. And you read this description in the book of Daniel. And then you see what John described in Revelation 1. It's amazing. And there is a connection between Daniel and Revelation. And the two men, Daniel and John, are two important men in the plan of God.
Amen.
And they both saw the Lord. Ezekiel saw the Lord on the throne. On the throne was a man in glory. He too was a mighty prophet of God. Allow me to just quickly go back to Daniel chapter 10 and just look at this description. Verse 5, Daniel 10, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. and his arms and his feet like in color to polish brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Go to Revelation 1 and see if you see any similarities there. Let's go to the book of Hosea, and I want to show you something here that will bless you with regard to the man Jacob. Let's see if we can go to chapter 12. Hosea, chapter 12, verse 2. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. I'm going to go slowly now. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with us. And who is this angel, and who is this he? Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. So we have a man wrestling with Jacob, then we have an angel, then we have the progressive revelation, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. It's the same word, the Lord God omnipotent, reigneth. It's Jehovah Sabaoth. It's used in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Praise his name. And if he's the same yesterday and today and forever, when you look at that human body that grew from a child to a youth to a man, it was almost a replica of what he was. And now he is in the glory. No wonder he could say, your father Abraham rejoiced to see what? He not only rejoiced to see my day, but he called the name of the place what? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide himself. Not the Lord will provide a lamb when we get there. The Lord will provide himself. And before Abraham was, I am. Oh, that's too powerful for the natural man to perceive. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. So we have only two men in the Bible. The Bible is not a book of all kinds of people, though we have many races. But the Bible is really the book that pertains to two men, the first man and the second man. Are we agreed?
Amen.
And when the first man came forth from God, can you imagine the glory that he had and the beauty? He resembled Jesus Christ. That's why he's compared with the Lord in the book of Romans, the first Adam. There are many similarities. Adam was innocent, but he was not perfect. Perfection can only come through trials and testings.
Amen. I see.
And imagine God made man out of the dust of the earth. And just to go into that story is beyond our time and ability to fully comprehend, but we go back to what God says, and that settles the matter. But there came a day when man lost the sovereignty over the earth. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man? How many of you have been puzzled, like myself, reading a title of the Lord, Son of Man? Jesus addressed himself, and no one ever did address him as Son of Man. That may surprise you, but go and check it out. He called himself Son of Man 84 times in the gospel. How many times? And nobody ever addressed Jesus Son of Man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Man was made in the image of God, but that image was marred. And the first man could not remain in the garden. So, I want to show you what is said of the first man and the second man. Go to Genesis 5. After the first man sinned, we have a book. And when the second man left heaven to come to earth to restore man, we have another book. And the first man heads the first book, but it's a book of death. The second man heads another species called the new creation. And it's not a book of death, it's a book of life.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now let's see what God says of the first man, chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And as we have borne the image of the earthy. So after Adam sinned, he could only beget like himself. And though the ones he begot were like him, they were wearing the image of the earthy. And it was a fallen image. And that's why in Adam all die. And as you read the genealogy of 10 individuals here, there's a recurring statement. Verse 5, and he died. Verse 8, and he died. Verse 11, and he died. Verse 14, and he died. And verse 17, and he died. Verse 20, and he died. Why is that being stressed? The only exception is the seventh man, Enoch. But keep reading on. Let's go to verse 27, and he died. That's Enoch's son, Methuselah. And we go to Lamech, and it's interesting, the age of Lamech is 3 sevens, 777. You hear about 666. Even in the age of Lamech, we have much hidden truth. And then we go on to Noah, and then not in that chapter, but later, and Noah died. But let's go to Matthew 1. And see the second man. And how does Matthew begin his gospel? Verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The son of David. The son of Abraham. But Matthew is tracing Jesus back to the kingly line. And he's a son of Abraham. He's a true Jew. He's son of David. A true king. And that one verse can take a lot of exposition. He's a lion of the tribe of what? Naphtali or Zebulun? Neither of the two. He's of the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe. So Matthew declares him as the king, and he's proving the legality of the Lord to the throne. He's the true king, a greater than David. A greater than Abraham. And let's go down to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Stop right there. How many of you have wondered why is that statement so worded? To show you it was otherwise than the others who were begotten through mother and father. In other words, this one begat that one. But when it comes to Jesus, it never says, and Joseph begat Jesus. Come on. It never says that. And by the way, after Jesus was born, there are no more human births in the Bible. Please go and check that out. That's a simple statement, but it's dynamite. There are no more human births recorded in the Bible after Jesus was born. Why? He came to end the fallen order in Abraham, rather in Adam, and all through his genealogy. And he came to bring a new creation, born not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why he was not married.
Amen.
And all this Da Vinci Code, bunch of lies and fragmentations from the devil's pit. Let us not in any way countenance this blasphemous kind of writing. And calling it fact, it's fiction to the highest degree. Belittling Jesus Christ as illegitimate. And people are putting it on the bestseller list. But the things that are highly esteemed in the eyes of man are abomination in the eyes of God, the Bible says. Which reminds me now that the word birth is the word Genesis. In the Greek language, the Genesis of Jesus, that is, after he was brought into time, the eternal one comes into time and he has a Genesis. But when he's about to die and Moses and Elijah come to speak with him, guess what they're talking with Jesus about? His decease or death, the word that is his exodus. So his birth was a Genesis and his death was an exodus. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Are you awake? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Only he can give us an exodus out of Adam and into himself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Oh, I don't know where to stop, but I got to continue. Let's. So there's another book headed by another man. And he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And this first man lost the glory. But the second man came to regain the lost glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if God gave up on man after Adam sinned and there was no more hope for man, well, we can all eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow we die. Yes. But not so. God had a purpose and he still has a purpose.
Thank you.
And he's still making man.
Thank you. Amen. Yes, sir.
Though man sinned, but now he's doing it in a different way.
Thank you.
From man came death. By man came death, by man came the resurrection from the dead. And the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is a Lord from where? Heaven. He told the Pharisees, you are of this earth. I am not of this world. Before Abraham was, I am. But their minds couldn't comprehend that. And the greatest need America has is to have a revelation of Jesus Christ. I tell you, we have so far departed as a nation from God, it's pitiful.
Yes, it is.
It's lamentable.
Yes,
it's sickening to see that Jesus is no more appreciated in our society. We can't even pray in his name and have his word read. We have to make apologies, but we can make room for Islam and communism and socialism to be taught. What will God do to a nation that has had so much light and turned its back on it? I tremble to think of it. May God still be merciful to us in the midst of judgment. Well, I said all of that to bring you to the thought that The Bible never calls Jesus the second Adam. I want us to be straight on this. Because many times I read messages in print and hear messages, and so many times it is said, the second Adam, the second Adam, the second Adam. That's not correct and must be corrected. Because it's not scripture. If Jesus is the second Adam, he'll be second in a series of failure. But why is he called the last Adam? He came to end the failure in the first man. So why is Jesus called the second man? Because as a second man, he rises from the dead after taking the sinner's place. And because he conquered death and paid the price of redemption, he's the second man who heads the new creation. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Praise God.
Amen.
So, how long is a day with the Lord, by the way? How long will it be 6 days? Well, you know what? It's only 6 days in God's reckoning of time. And this time he's making man in his image. But it's not after the image of the earthy. It's after the image of the heavenly.
Thank you, my Lord.
All of us are only thinking about 666 and all the negative things of six. But may I tell you, six has a positive meaning. I want to shock you a little with a piece of news I read not too long ago. That there's a film coming out on the 6th of June, 666, this year. 6 day, 6 months of 2006. You could label it 060606. And it took them 666 days to film it. And guess what is the title of it? The Beast. I marvel at the way the devil is working. He is imitating the things of God.
Yes, sir.
And guess what the story is all about? A professor, so-called, is telling his son, Jesus Christ is a myth. He never existed. And the Christians are most foolish to believe in a being like Jesus. What do you call that? I don't know what will happen to us for such a kind of blasphemy. And here we are in the year 2006, and man is ripe for the bestial system and its operations in our time. And the devil knows his time is short. And I've never seen wickedness in a country that I've loved and still love as I'm seeing in our nation today. I don't know what else is left for man to do to make himself more despicable. But I will have good news for you. Satan is seeking to have a following. And those who follow him will have his mark and his image. And you could tell the devil's crowd, by their fruits, you will know them. God, on the other hand, is putting his mark and his image on his people. And when the 6,000 years are about to end, God will have a man in his own image and likeness. And this will be not be one man. It will be a corporate man, a many-membered man. Hallelujah. Until we come to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, the book of Hebrews, and I'm trying to stay away from it because it's a sore temptation, is telling us that he's bringing many sons unto glory.
Amen.
Not one. Jesus is the first. But he's bringing many sons into glory. That means this age can't end until the Lord will see the travail of his soul. And he will see many sons and daughters conformed to his image. Hallelujah. It's all in Hebrews chapter 2. So you got to have a revelation from the Lord as to what is the main thrust of the epistle to the Hebrews. And that's why it's a book of warnings, because we can fail to gain the prize and be like those who perished in the wilderness. And the greatest chapter in faith is not about how they began the race, it's how they ended up the race. That's faith that is not initial faith. Listen, it didn't take them much to cross the Red Sea. Stop for a moment. I just want to show you something. The Lord in grace let them grumble and complain. Had he taken them at their word, all would have died. Their complaining was, there are not graves in Egypt. Moses, why did you bring us here to perish in the sea? And God, in grace, opened a way. And they crossed over. But it's not the same kind of spirit you're seeing 40 years later. Because God doesn't wait for the Jordan to be at low tide. And he doesn't open the way for them to cross the Jordan. It took more faith to cross the Jordan than it took to cross the Red Sea. And you know something? Nobody's grumbling at the Jordan. And it's a sanctified people who crossing Jordan. They have to prepare themselves. And the ark is leading. And the priests have to touch the feet or cause their feet to touch the waters of the Jordan while the Jordan was overflowing its banks. And to the natural mind, oh, those men are going to commit suicide. But if God says to do it, you do it.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Are you ready for this? And when they did, God caused the Jordan to be cut off 18 miles away to a place called the City Adam. Notice, the City Adam. Why is the city called Adam? In Adam all die, and Jordan links with death. So the waters of the Jordan being cut off all the way to the city Adam is telling us, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And not all who crossed the Red Sea made it into the promised land. And that's what the book of Hebrews is telling us. To come into the full glory that God has, it will cost us every single thing we are and have.
Yes, sir.
There can be no halfway surrender.
Grant it, Lord Jesus.
And far too long we have tried to have half and half and yes. And, you know, we can have half and half to mix with the coffee and all of that. But God is not looking for half and half. He's looking for a total burnt offering. Full commitment to him. And so the people in Hebrews 11 are people who matured in faith. I'll give you one last thought and then we got to move on. Who among us would have written about Joseph and we would not have talked or thought about his dreams, his coming to the throne, his overcoming the temptations of Potiphar's wife and all the rest. Instead, all the great exploits of Joseph are left out. I just want to show you something. I was shocked to read back again the chapter on faith. It's not talking about when they started out. It's how they ended up. And Joseph is about to leave. And what is he concerned about himself? No. He's concerned about the people getting into their inheritance. And he wanted to be a part of that. How many of us are concerned about God's people? And not just about ourselves? Far too long we've thought only about ourselves. But you see, it's like Paul says, what is my joy? And what is my crown? Are not you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his sanctified ones?
Amen.
Until we have a vision for the whole body, we're all selfish.
Right.
And Joseph had a vision that God didn't want them to perish in Egypt or even perish in the wilderness, but he wanted them to get into the land. The land is full salvation. So that's enough to leave with you the thought that God is calling us to a mature faith. And we all are being put to the test.
Yes, sir.
But let us follow the pathway of these overcomers, and the greatest being our Lord Jesus. That's why it says, looking unto Jesus. The what? Author, the pioneer, and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Amen. God is able to bring us there.
Yes, sir.
And God will if we are willing.
Amen. That's
so let us not magnify all our problems. Let's magnify the Lord. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Hast thou perfected praise?
Yes.
Well, I've just gotten started. And I don't want to weary you out tonight. I want to give you a good night's rest by God's grace. Let you get home early so you can come back for a longer session tomorrow night.
Amen.
Because you want to see some of the sixes in the Bible and why we must expect the glory of God to be made manifest in these last days. Though all around us is darkness. And everything seems to be getting more and more turbulent. And by the way, I don't know what will happen on June the 6th of this year. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm simply saying that's something very mysterious, 666. But guess what? There is the positive side.
Thank you.
What did God do for Israel on the sixth day when he gave them manna? Aye. But did you know that some of the people didn't go and get the manna and thought they would get the manna on the seventh day? Did they find any? So why is that given? To tell us it's a positive side to six. God is saying while the enemy is getting ready to do his thing, I'm getting my people ready for the double portion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have to go through our trials and tribulations to gather the experiences that will fit us for the seventh day. And the glory of the latter house will be what? Greater than what? Former. That means the church at the beginning began in glory. What about the church in the end? Greater glory. And that prophecy is in the 911 chapter of the Bible, which is Haggai chapter 2. It's the 911 chapter of the Bible. Isn't that something? And what about barren Elizabeth? And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. The sixth month. So don't be afraid of 666 and all that the negative side has. True, there may be some judgments and disasters there, but there is a positive side to six. How about the loaves on the table of showbread? They were in two rows, six and six. What about the lampstand? There's six branches grafted into the central shaft. Abide in me, and I in you. Solomon had a beautiful throne, but there were six steps to the throne, not 12. Six steps. So you couldn't reach the throne and sit on it until you climbed up the six steps. What are the six steps? The six steps are the six promises to the overcomer, to the six churches. And all of those, when we go through those six, we are ready for the seventh. And what is the seventh? To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me where? In my throne.
Yes, amen.
Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you ready for some positive sixes?
Amen.
As fast as it comes, I'll give it to you. The sixth parable of Matthew 13. Who can guess? Now, Matthew 13 is still one of the hardest chapters of the Bible to figure out. The sixth parable is the parable of the pearl. And guess what? One of the storms was called Rita. The other one was called Katrina. Right?
Yes.
Katrina means pure. And Rita means a pearl. And you saw what God allowed to happen last year. Because he's saying, I am after holiness.
Yes.
and I want my church to go through the sufferings, that the church will come forth into glory. If we suffer with him, that we shall be glorified together with him. Rita is a compound of the word Margarita or Margaret. And is it by accident that the sixth parable is the parable of the pearl? And the oyster overcomes its hurt by releasing this white fluid, and it's built up after a period of time. Well, God has given the church 2,000 years to come forth into the pearl of purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Through much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom.
Amen.
And then we have the sixth letter to the sixth church, which is Philadelphia, which is the church that was not to go back, but was commanded by the Lord to go on and reach the goal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then we go into the sixth seal and the sixth trumpet and the sixth vial. And all of that will take time to explain. May you check what happens under each of the sixth seal, sixth trumpet, sixth vial. But I want to tell you what's happening right now. The sixth trumpet links with the river Euphrates. When was the last time you ever heard on the news media and heard it many, many times about a river called Euphrates in the news? That never happened in the previous century. For the first time, we are hearing about the Euphrates River. May I tell you what it's all about? It's about Islam. And Islam came into being 600 years after Jesus Christ. And their holy day is the sixth day. You know what is the Muslim's holy day? Friday. But I want to tell you the good news. Jesus died on the sixth day and suffered on the cross for 6 hours. And the sixth statement of the cross is, it is finished.
Amen. Thank you.
Right. Some say, oh, he was crucified on a Wednesday and he rose on a Sunday. It had to be 72 hours. We don't understand the scriptures. That's why we speak so glibly. They don't talk like we talk. For us, after 3 days is the fourth day. Yet in the same scripture it says on the third day. How can after 3 days and on the third day be the same thing? Never. You got to know that part of a day is a whole day. Then the mystery is solved. It is fitting that man who fell short of seven and came on the sixth day should be atoned for on the sixth day, and Jesus had to face 6 hours. And the sixth statement was not a mutter and a gasp. He cried with a loud voice, it is finished.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let those sixes set your heart ringing with melody and praise unto God. The devil doesn't have the last word. And when Jesus said it is finished, heaven heard it, earth heard it, and Hades heard it. And oh, hallelujah, death was silenced. The devil couldn't say a thing. No human being could utter a word. Even a man like the centurion was amazed. Truly this man was the Son of God. Only mistake was, he said was. He not only was, he is and will ever be the Son of God. Hallelujah. We can excuse him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. I am getting stirred up in my spirit because I believe we are in a time of God unveiling himself and establishing his people. And if you look at these sixes in the Bible, they're tremendous. So I'm going to leave you with the thought that God is making us again into his own image and likeness. So allow me to bring you to Hebrews 2 and dismiss you a little early than 12 o'clock. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. By the way, there are six words for man in the Bible. How many words? I'm teaching a little something different in the sense that we're not students of Hebrew and Greek, but in my studies I have found there are four Hebrew words for man and in the Old Testament and two for man in the New Testament. So altogether, how many words for man? Okay, before I tell you something else, let me give it to you. Because of the fall of man, we're bound by this number six. It didn't dawn on me to say to myself, why was I so long in seeing how six is linked with man? Look at it. How many seconds in a minute?
60.
What is 60? Six multiplied by how many minutes make an hour? 60 minutes. How many hours in one day?
24.
What is 24? 6 multiplied by 4. All right? How many months in a year? What is 12? 6 multiplied by 2. That is something we all know. But yes, we know it and we still don't know it. That's our problem.
Right.
We know so many things, but we still don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm just showing you how six is predominant. How many pints of blood in an average human being? Yes. Six quarts, 12 pints. Is that coincidence? It's all there. We know it since going to school. But first the natural, and then what? The spiritual. All right. What happened 6 days after Jesus said, some of you will not taste of death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom? After how many days did the transfiguration take place after Jesus spoke certain words? 6 days, right? Okay. Reduce 6 days to hours, what you get? 6 multiplied by 24, what do you get? You don't need a calculator for that. 144. And a day with the Lord is how long? Multiply 144 by 1,000, what do you get? Is that a magic number? Or is it in line with what God is telling us, that man's day must come to an end before the day of the Lord begins? Oh, hallelujah. So I'm just showing you, there are things that we already know, that we've had a veil over our face that God wants to unveil. Then we're going to say, oh, hallelujah. You know, one of the names of the Lord is Alpha and what else? A and O are vowels. And A, you say ah, and O, you say O. And mega means millions. And the more the Lord begins to reveal himself, ah, Lord God, oh, wonderful Lord, ah and O will be coming out of us.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Millions of ahs and O's, ah of surprise, O of address. Oh, my Lord. And as I've said to some of you, Alpha has the numerical value 1, Omega 800, and when you dial a toll-free number, not this fancy kind of number we got, what was it first? 1-800, and you don't even need a dime or a quarter. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he whom the Son has set free is toll-free indeed.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We're so smart. God is miles ahead of us. Oh, hallelujah. Well, there's no end to these things, the sixes and the positive side of God's ways with man. By the way, I don't know where they got the expression 6 feet under. And they say after you're dead, you're going to be put in the hole 6 feet under. But that's one thing that never happened to Jesus. He was not put in a 6 feet under society. He was put in the rock, and the rock endures. He's the rock of ages. And that body was not meant to die and perish. It was to endure, and it was incorruptible. Death can't feed on it, and corruption can't feed on it. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'm going tonight, but I'm coming to a close just now. Don't get too much in a hurry. Why is Jesus called Son of Man? 84 times he calls himself that in the four Gospels. Four more times in the New Testament, in Hebrews, in Revelation, he's called Son of Man. Altogether 88 times. And 88 is the number of the keys on a piano. And guess what? Rescue the perishing. How does it go? Care for the dying. And in one of those verses, the Spirit keeps bringing to my mind a certain deep in the human heart, bruised by the tempter. Feelings lie buried, and cords that were broken will vibrate once more. How many of you know that line? Raise your hands. Cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Do we have that in our hymnal? Brother Alan, could you read that verse for me? The Spirit of God was bringing that to me a number of times, and I'm struggling. What is the name of that song? They dawned on me just a few days ago. It must be Rescue the Perishing. Then I call a friend in Canada who knows those hymns, and he says, yes, that's the hymn, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. I want to show you how inspired those people were who wrote these beautiful hymns we were singing tonight. If you can find that hymnal and read that verse for me, Brother Allen.
Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore.
That grace can restore, yes.
Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more.
Well, who is the one to tune us up? Come on. Hallelujah. So is it accidental? Son of Man is found 88 times in the New Testament, referring to Jesus. Who can take our discordant lies and tune us up that we can have a song in our heart? And if we can't sing, we can make a joyful noise.
Thank you, Lord.
Chords that were broken will vibrate once more, because he's tuning us to sing the song of the redeemed.
Amen.
And they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And it will only be sung by a redeemed people, not those who wear the image of the beast, but those who wear the image of the second man, the Lord of glory.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm just getting started. More to come. And God is after a people who will radiate and manifest the life and the light and the love of Jesus Christ. And we're all candidates for God to reshape us, and we're groaning to come into this change. And this is a momentous time in history. I pause for a moment to go back in time 33 years ago when I first met Brother Lester, and I had black hair, and now I'm getting some silvery white. Well, I hope I get some wisdom. And I know where I was then, and I know where I'm going today, but the Lord is getting greater and greater to me. And I thank him for his abundant grace. You see, grace is Jesus himself. And grace in the Greek language has the numerical value 911. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God is giving us grace. And the grace hasn't stopped yet. Peter says that we are to look for the grace that shall be revealed at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we began in grace, and we are to continue in grace. That grace that has saved us
is the grace that is keeping us, and God's grace will bring us home. Let us reach the goal. Amen. So don't be afraid of the number six in spite of all the sixes we're seeing in the negative. See it from the side of the divine. That 6 days of man are telling us man's day is coming to an end. How long was man to labor for?
6 days.
And then he was to cease. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his labors as God did from his. So this message ties in with the book of Hebrews, even though I'm not preaching from it. Hallelujah. Son of man. What is the meaning of son of man? Man as God intended man to be. And when you see Jesus, he is the express image of the invisible God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I wonder to myself how much of Jesus are people seeing in me. And I have to say, Lord, I have a far way yet to go, but please, let it be less of me and more of you. Let it be less of me and more of you. And this thought of God restoring the glory and putting his house in order should be something that is burning in our hearts, because if Satan can lull us to sleep and can discourage us and get us into sidetracking the issue rather than the purpose of God, then we'll be defeated Christians. But God doesn't want us to be defeated. He wants us to be overcomers. And it's not in our human strength or limitation. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So we'll be looking into Hebrews 2 some more, though I'm not preaching from Hebrews as such. But let's end up with, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Last sentence. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus. What Adam failed to realize, who fulfilled it? Adam never really got into the full dominion God gave him. But when you look at Jesus, do the fishes obey him? Sometimes I ask the Lord to put a fish on my hook because I can't catch them. And did the birds obey him? Did the beasts obey him? Did you know only Mark tells us something about the temptation of the Lord in the wilderness that no one else mentions? One sentence. And in our haste, we read it and pass over like myself. I want you to see it before we close. Go to Mark chapter 1. Just one sentence. Verse 13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. Watch this sentence. And was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. Why did Mark put that sentence there? You see, we read, but we don't always understand unless God opens our eyes. Why is that statement put there? And by the way, Mark is showing us Jesus as a servant. And man, in the beginning, in Eden, was with the beasts and gave names to them, right? But the very beasts knew who this man was. And they couldn't terrorize him. He had real dominion over them. Hallelujah. The ox knoweth his master, and the donkey knows his master's scripts, but my people Israel do not know. Think about it. Jesus had dominion on land and sea and air. Study that out. I'm not going to tell you. Dominion over demons. dominion over distance. He can speak the word miles away from the nobleman's home, and his son gets healed at the exact time Jesus spoke. Here's a man as God intended man to be. I cannot believe that this age will end and God will leave us defeated. I believe he's getting us ready to handle power we've never handled before. But before he entrusts us with that power, he has to put us through the fires of refining.
That's right. Amen.
We need the spirit of Elisha. Where you go, sir, I'm going. Stay here at Jericho. Stay at Bethel. No, sir, where you go, I'm going. We need the spirit of Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor cease from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Have we come to that place yet? If not, are we willing? God has kept the best wine for when? Huh? And how you think that miracle was performed? How many water pots were involved? Six. Oh, glory. That's a whole message there. He didn't say barely fill them. He said fill them, but they fill them to the brim. Oh, glory. The washing of the water of the word in our vessel will bring about a change in these last days.
Thank you, Lord.
God has kept the best for the last. Are we believing it? Or we believe the devil has the last word?
No.
I don't care how worse it gets. I know it's going to get better for God's people.
Amen.
There are two forces at work in our world right now. Darkness is getting more dark. It's like the people in Egypt. Darkness was so great they couldn't move. But in the homes of the Israelites, there was light. Oh, glory. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the people. But the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, arise and shine, for thy light is come. There's a glory God has reserved for these times of darkness. And he's stirring our inner man. And he's giving us an understanding of things we didn't fully comprehend. And he's rewarding those who diligently seek him. So my coming here at this time is simply to encourage you and myself that we're getting ready for the greatest visitation of God in these last days. And let's fear that we don't miss it. Let there be godly fear that we can miss it if we get stubborn and set in our ways. Oh, but may God give us the grace to persevere. As Joshua and Caleb, the 10 saw the giants. They saw grapes. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb saw God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What are we looking at? I know the gas prices are going, and I say, Lord, deal with this greediness in our land.
Yes, Lord.
And not only in the gas realm or the oil realm, there's greed in every department.
Yes, sir. My own heart. Oh, help me, Lord.
But I'm praying, bless and stretch what we have, Lord, that we can live and know you as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. It's easy to complain as we see iniquity in our land. But let us cry out against the abomination like the people who are sighing and crying out. And God sent a man to put a mark. And when that mark was put on these intercessors, no weapon could harm them. They were kept from judgment. Judgment must begin where first. And if we would judge ourselves. And did you stop to consider Ezekiel survived? Where was Ezekiel while the slaughtering was taking place? He was there, but nobody could harm him. And he interceded still for the nation.
Thank you.
God is doing a work, and he wants your vessel and mine to be filled with the water of his word. He's kept the best for the last.
Amen.
The sixth day is coming to an end, but the glory is about to break forth.